and local radio. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives and making a great living at it. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, K Millie in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. Phone numbers, you know them, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Coming up, we will go back to the situation in Moore, Oklahoma. Your reaction to the president's speech last night, his interview on 60 Minutes. But now we're joined by best-selling author Douglas Brunt. Mr. Brunt, thank you for joining us here at 580-KIDO. Good morning.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So let's talk a little bit about your new work here. Part Primary Colors, part House of Cards. The Means takes you into the Deep South, Durham, North Carolina. What's that about?
The book follows two men running for the White House and a female journalist who covers politics who gets onto a story that could bring down one or both of the candidates. And much of the story does take place in Durham, North Carolina, because one of the presidential contenders is a trial attorney who gets recruited to run for the governor's mansion in North Carolina, which he wins, and then ultimately makes a run for the White House. And so a lot of it is set down there where that candidate is coming up.
Now, did you spend a lot of time in Durham?
I went to Duke undergrad, and so I have I spent a number of years there and very familiar with the area in Chapel Hill, where in this novel the character is went to Chapel Hill undergrad and Carolina Law School as well.
Now, if you're from the Triangle or whatever, it really resonates. Was there any thought in just picking that location in your book, considering you could have picked any place else in the country?
In I have two novels out now, and in both cases, I've always picked places where I've spent a lot of time, and it helps set a scene that's credible and real, and you know I can kind of take a person there. The other piece of North Carolina, it just has such an interesting political history, and it fit what I wanted to do there. It's kind of a purplish state, but it's kind of had periods of being both red and blue. So it was just a good spot to pick for this candidate to come up. I think North Carolina's got interesting history, and I know it well. So
crazy stuff going on. I used to work in North Carolina, so I'm familiar with your part of the world. How does one come up with the concept for a bestseller that, again, you're talking part Primary Colors, part House of Cards? How does that work in your mind?
Well, I've had a lot of – my wife is a journalist, and she covers a lot of politics. And so it's a subject that is often discussed here. And as a writer, I naturally observe and make connections between observations and storylines and ideas. And just had an idea for this book, and it's just started coming together. So I weaved in a lot of journalism as well and explored those points of intersection between politics and journalism, which is an interesting relationship. I did a lot of research for this book. So I had access to some people who've run national campaigns, who've worked in the White House, who've been part of the media but embedded with the campaigns, traveling with them in all the hotels and the flights, and it's really fascinating stuff when you get behind the scenes. And in both of my books, I picked subjects where there's a public perception of what's happening that, you know, that we all see, but it's a very produced package. And what I try to do with the books is get behind the scenes so that you can see what's really going on. So when that candidate steps out to the podium, he's really prepared. But what's really interesting is to know who's standing backstage and that whole team of people and all the crazy things that went on to deliver up that scene that we all get to see.
Douglas Brunt with us, 580KIDO, his new book, The Means. By the way, speaking of Mrs. Brunt, do you ever get in the last word with her?
With my wife? She's occasionally, I guess. You know, the funny thing is the way she is on air is similar to how she is all the time. You know, she's very funny, very smart, very quick, and she's very kind. So we make a good team. You know, we're raising three little kids now, and I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else.
Well, she talks about you on the air a lot, and I don't really want to make it about her, but for our listeners that really don't know who your wife is, could you let us know that here?
My wife is Megyn Kelly, who is an anchor for Fox News.
Right, exactly. And how do you deal with her popularity? I mean, you're a best-selling author, and, you know, she's, you know, pushing everybody both politically and socially and ratings-wise.
It opens up more doors than – there's more good than bad, really, at least in her case. I think that celebrity for some people can be trying. She handles it so well and so gracefully, and it always leads to fun stuff. You know, she did, you know, some of these late night shows. She did the Leno show just before Leno signed off, and so we made a little trip out to LA of it, and got to go backstage at Leno and meet some nice folks, and so little things like that come up from time to time that are actually pretty fun. And you know, everyone, the people who watch her show and like her are all so nice, and they'll come say hi, but everyone's really very nice about it, and they don't try to monopolize their time. Everyone sort of says a nice hello and love your show, and she always has time for everybody. So we have a quick, nice conversation, and it's really very nice.
Mr. Brunt, what do you and your wife disagree on the Duke lacrosse case? I remember working Carolina, and I remember about your wife being in the field. She was a hard worker at the time down there in Carolina, and you as a mm-hmm. Duke grad. I wondered what your thoughts are on that.
That's actually around the time when we first met, and she was out in front of everybody on that story, yeah, getting it right, because she was doing thorough journalism and said, let's not leap to conclusions here. Let's really find out what's going on. And when the first inkling started coming around that there may be more to the story, she was one of the early people to report it. And I think that the kids who were involved in that case and certainly their parents really appreciated her integrity with reporting the story and not leaping to some sensational headline, but being a little bit more a little bit more thorough about it.
Yeah, that was tough to do. Even the attorney for, I think it was Reed Seligman, Colin Finnerty, or David Evans said they initially believed the hype. Let's get back to you and the Means. What did you learn based on your high contacts, that people that have run White House campaigns, presidential campaigns, that you'll talk about in this book, about the making of the candidate, the imaging, the packaging?
One thing I learned that was a positive thing is that the people who are in the business of politics, the people who are running these campaigns or at senior positions on staffs of candidates, is that they seem less partisan than the rest of the country. And they recognize in each other across party lines that they've chosen this business, and this is how they pay the mortgage and pay their kids' tuition. And whether they're left or right, they seem to have a healthy respect for each other. And so I met with a number of folks who have been very senior in running these campaigns, from Joe Trippi, and I know Bob Beckel a bit. And I'm sure if you asked Bob Beckel what he thinks of Ed Rollins, he'd say, I respect him. And I think Ed Rollins would say the same of Bob Beckel. The candidates, I think that's about what it is. Some are friendly across party lines, some are not. But I found the people who sort of work in the business to be very – it's more like Yankees and Red Sox who shake hands after the game and go get a couple drinks together.
Boy, that Beckel, he still makes our blood boil.
I know. But he's a character.
He is.
And then there's the other thing I learned, that the last 50 days of these campaigns is just total madness. It's like Animal House on wheels. And they're hitting 3, 4, even 5 cities in a day. So they'll wake up and do a sunrise rally in Tampa, and then they'll drive across Florida to Palm Beach, and they'll hop a flight to New York, and then they'll, you know, close the day out in Boston at some other rally. They're just hitting as much as they can, getting to all the key cities. And so it's about 3 Greyhound bus-sized buses full of people between the campaign staff, the Secret Service, the journalists, and then all the techs who travel with the journalists to do all the lighting and the cameras and everything else. And they never touch a bag or talk to TSA. The bus pulls right up on the tarmac. They get on the plane. They go to the hotel. There's no time for anyone to do laundry. On the red-eye flights, there's all sorts of, you know, lots of people are joining the Mile High Club, and there's lots of drinking and very little sleeping. It's just an insane period. It was described to me as staying up all night for an all-nighter for your final exams and working your tail off through the night and then doing that 50 straight days.
Yeah, and these are the people that are supposed to give us the news and the politics. Douglas Brunt with us, The Means, his new bestseller here at 580KIDO. What about the candidates? Does the packaging, does the consultants, does the isolation from reality turn them into something that they were far differently from what they started out when they, you know, were talking in front of five people at the Five and Dime?
That's one of the questions that the book poses, and I don't offer a judgment so much, if it's more for the reader to judge. But the question is it drawing in a certain type of flawed person who wants this, or does a good person go for it, but the process they have to go through ends up corrupting them? There's so many sacrifices you need to make to get there, and so many compromises that you need to make that by the end of it, you've become flawed. And that's a tough question. It's because clearly our system is not perfect. We're now spending on a presidential campaign $1 billion for a candidacy.
Well, how close to reality does your book hit?
Very close. Bob Beckel called me up after he read it and said, "Who have you been talking to? This is spot on." Carville read it and said, "This is a must read." And Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee, gave me a great blurb saying, "This is the kind of stuff that you can't learn in the newspapers or on the TV. This is the behind the very accurate behind the scenes description of what's going on."
Now, do you get a chance to go into debate prep? Because we've kind of made it like the pseudo sporting event. Well, he got a lot of is, and he got the last word in.
Yeah, there is a big debate scene in the book, and I do get into the lead ins to that with prep and what the team around the candidate is working on and trying to do. And what I found is that the people who are the experts in preparing their candidate really need to get to know their candidate and the kind of lane he feels comfortable operating in. So if this is someone who's really quick and smart and charismatic and kind of funny, they can go for some zingers. But if it's not, they just want to get out there and look credible. And you just sort of have to find the comfort zone in your candidate and prepare him that way. And I think for most people, they don't go out there and try to hit home runs. They just want to get out there and hit a couple singles, look decisive, don't say, you know, on the one hand this, but on the other hand that. You know, you got to go out there and be tough and decisive, particularly if you're the challenger. If you can get out there and hold your ground against an incumbent president, you can really elevate yourself.
Mr. Brunt, two more questions here. Number one, what type of people work behind the scenes, the Carvels, the Stephanopouloses, the Beckels? And number two, how big an advantage is it to have the big money?
The type of what I've found is the people on these campaigns, it's very much of a young man's and young woman's game. And if you are in your mid-30s and you've been around for a few campaigns doing this, you'd be one of the more seasoned senior people there. There's a very high burnout factor. And so the typical staff is a lot of folks in their 20s, which is why it's such a crazy environment, you know, in these hotels and running around on the planes and things like that. So there's a real burnout factor. What was the second question?
How big a corrupting influence, if at all, is the money?
The money is worrisome on two fronts. One is how, you know, can influence be bought? And clearly there is some, you know, you can almost track that. You pay a certain amount of dollars and you can watch the polls move and you can almost sort of see what a percentage point on an issue is going to cost you. It doesn't always work that way. I mean, you see some campaigns that outspend another 4-1, and they still lose just because, you know, the other person is very strong and maybe, you know, on the right side of the issues in that time. So it's not 100% that things can be bought, but clearly it's something that can be measured. The second thing that's worrisome, though, is just the distracting nature of it from governing. You know, not to pick on Obama, because I think everyone needs to go raise money, but how many times do you look up in the news and there's something horrific happening while he's on his way to go raise more money? And the reason I say I don't want to pick on him too much, every politician needs to go raise their money. But it's really, it's gotten so crazy that it really distracts people from actually doing the job. Keeping the job is so hard. You gotta take your eye off the ball of actually doing the job. And as I said, $1 billion for a campaign is just, you know, we're reaching new heights here.
Well, a final thought to you, part 27 here at 580KIDO, Mr. Brunner. Are you proud of Coach Cutcliffe, of what he's done, and are you going to go to Cameron anytime soon?
Cutcliffe's doing a great job down there, and I have not been to Cameron in more than 10 years. I need to get back down. I'm in New York, so it's easier when the Blue Devils come play through Madison Square Garden. That's a little easier to get to, but there's nothing like a Cameron basketball game. I need to get Megan down there as well. She's never had that experience, so maybe this will be the year.
That'd be great. Bucky Waters is always such a great resource, and you Duke people, even though I'm a kind of a partial Carolina guy, you guys are all right with me.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. Great luck, continued success.
Thanks very much. Thanks. Good to talk to you this morning.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we have it. Douglas Brunt talking about his new bestseller, The Means. And, you know, we'll give you a little insight here. Now, we're rolling around, and I go to Ray Amaya, we're going to take him for 5 minutes because we've got some issues to talk about. We've got the beheading. We've got Obama. And I'm going to say this, and I know what you're thinking. Well, you took him because of who his wife is. No, I did that for Jim and Star and Russ Smurs, two of the biggest Megyn Kelly fans around. But I enjoyed the interview with Mr. Brunt. The idea that these people that are running for office and the people running them for office are flawed individuals. So check out his book, The Means, New York Times bestselling author. Again, just another example of what we're trying to do to give you the best information, opinion, and solutions here in the morning at 580KIDO.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller with you, live to Jerusalem. We're joined by Emily Wither of Fox News Radio. Emily, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Before we get to ISIS and their reaction, you were reporting at the top of the hour concerning something that didn't happen in Iraq but has happened in Afghanistan, the signing and the agreement of the Status Forces Agreement.
Yes, finally. So this is the agreement that the former president, Hamid Karzai, had refused to sign, and also a very similar agreement that was never reached with Iraq, which is why all U.S. forces withdrew from Iraq when the war was finished in that country. But it appears that in Afghanistan, it will be a different story. The newly sworn-in leader, Ashraf Ghani, had promised that he would sign the deal with the U.S., and he's stuck good to his word and has inked the deal just the day after he was sworn in. And what it means is that there will now be able to be up to 10,000 American troops remaining in Afghanistan after American combat troops withdraw at the end of the year. And they'll be staying there in a mentoring role to help Afghans' local forces stick to the course and remember what they've learned.
Emily Wither joining us live from Jerusalem at Fox News Radio on 580KIDO. I understand that the current president, at least internationally, has the perception of being more credible than the former president, Hamid Karzai.
Hamid Karzai had a very bad relationship towards the end of his term with the U.S. It was always very rocky, but particularly in its final year, tensions between the U.S. and Afghanistan were incredibly high under Hamid Karzai. And under the new leader, Ashraf Ghani, things have already gotten off to a good start. He's also spoken out about a number of issues which will go down quite well in the West, such as calling for the Taliban to lay down their arms and join the political process. He's also said that women should play a more active role in governmental roles and high positions in Afghan society. He says that a woman should be appointed to one of the top jobs at the Supreme Court. And all of these sorts of statements already indicate that the relationship between Afghanistan and the U.S. is off to a good start and will be much improved under this new president.
Emily Wither joining us here at 580KIDO. Let's move on to ISIS and the reaction of ISIS and al-Qaeda to the airstrikes. They vowed vengeance against America. Is this anything new?
It is new in the sense that the U.S., when they started these airstrikes in Syria, had initially said that they were going after ISIS. But actually what's transpired is that they're also attacking an Al-Qaeda-affiliated rebel group in Syria called the Nusra Front. Now, the Nusra Front is actually a rival of ISIS. And striking them has actually really angered some of the moderate rebel groups inside Syria who view the Nusra Front as being an ally against ISIS with them. So they've been attacking ISIS. They've been working quite hard to get back at them with help of moderate rebels. And also the Nusra Front fight alongside the moderate rebels to try and attack President Assad's regime. So they're very unhappy, some of the moderate rebels, that the Nusra Front is being targeted. And what these strikes may have done is actually form a coalition now between the Nusra Front and ISIS. We have heard reports that these two rival groups are now holding war planning meetings, and they're thinking of teaming up to fight back against the U.S. So as rebels and activists are warning on the ground, this is only going to inject more chaos into the conflict, and already it's again becoming a much more complicated picture.
What about Netanyahu before the United Nations? What's the reaction in Israel to that?
That speech that the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave is being viewed here in the local editorials as being a bit of an election speech. So while it may have gone down quite well in Israel, there has been some criticism that it didn't have much impact on the international stage. Many feel that that speech delivered by Netanyahu was very similar to previous speeches that he's given, where he's tried to highlight Iran as being the biggest threat in the region, not other militant groups. This time round it was ISIS. Last time round it was other militant groups that were operating inside the Middle East.
Emily, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is the Manly Man segment, and here we are, radio's answer to the television morning anchor dude and dudettes.
What?
I know that doesn't make sense. I just say these things at you just to get your reaction.
Oh.
You know how it is when you watch the little TV and you got Billy and Sally and Sally and Billy, and there's the weather person, and beep, beep, beep. All we have is you and me.
Hmm. We need a dudette.
I don't know. I don't want to sell out.
Sell out?
I don't want to sell out.
Are you afraid of women?
This is...
I'm just asking.
No, this is the Manly Man Show for men.
Oh, I
Look,
got you.
They've taken over.
What have they taken over?
This whole war on women, it should be... I'm going to start launching the war on men. W-O-M.
The war on men.
WOM.
WOM.
Yeah.
Or would that be womb? I'm just saying.
No wombs here. No. Anyway, they've taken over everything.
Hmm.
You know, it used to be the old days when you'd have the grizzled sideline reporters. Now you watch a game, and what do you get? Well,
can you name one grizzled sideline reporter?
Well, Tom Rinaldi.
Tom Rinaldi.
Yep.
I thought that was your Saturday morning producer.
Exactly, Tom Rinaldi.
Hmm.
Exactly.
What are you doing there?
You know, I turned off my volume on this stupid thing, and then it came on anyway.
Huh. So, like, you and I are talking, but you're busy watching YouTube videos? Is that what you're saying?
No,
I'm a little hurt.
I'm with you, and you know something? I always give you a hard time about that. I monitor things, because, you know, there are no original ideas, so I hit my monitor on the wrong button, and it blipped up for a minute.
That's that high-tech stuff. It'll get you every time. See, you know what I hate?
Tom Rinaldi, our Saturday producer. I love that, Tom Rinaldi.
You know what I hate? I hate pop-up ads, Kevin.
Oh.
Don't you hate it when you're on the net and you go to click something and suddenly something jumps in front of you and you click some insurance ad?
The Statesman and, dare I say it, our friends at Channel 7. Oh, my gosh.
The pop-ups?
Oh, it's the pop-up, the drag, and it's like, dudes, okay, I get it. You have to monetize this thing, but come on, man.
I hate pop-ups.
Oh. And what is it now? It's like, it's not even the pop-up because, you know, you go to the screen and all of a sudden this thing
you know, comes down, and it just envelops the screen, and then you have to find where the X is, and they usually move the X.
Or so the X is a fake X, and there's really a real X.
Oh, yes, yes.
They're so deceptive. I hate that. Hey, I was looking at something fascinating, because we did find out that the our president has been playing more golf than he's been in security briefings.
Yeah.
And then I found, remember our former president, was his name George W. Bush?
Yeah.
He's been out at the Wounded Warrior Golf Tournament doing that.
Yeah.
So good for him. I'm spending some time with the Wounded Warrior Project, helping to host and raise some money for the Wounded Warrior Project. And see, that's the thing a former president should be doing. They should be out golfing.
Yeah. But. Yeah, President Bush was not perfect for a lot of reasons.
No.
But I think that his heart was in the right place. Mm-hmm. And the Bushes are really kind of an odd grouping of folks. They never attack their successors or their predecessors. And Clinton will smack them all the time, and they treat him like the honorary Bush son.
Yeah, what's interesting, that used to be protocol for presidents, not to speak about, you know, whoever took their office. I think it was Clinton that originally was the first one to really break that.
Right.
And go after him. And I can't wait to see what happens
with this
next
guy
time around.
Oh, I think he's just going to go on SportsCenter.
Do you really think so?
Or he's going to work for Oprah or something like that, because he seems to have fun being a media personality, and I think that one day it's time to jump off the building when this happens. He, not Bill Clinton, will be appointed to the Supreme Court. I could see that.
Well, Bill Clinton couldn't be.
Well, yeah, you can.
Oh, I don't think so, because I think if I remember right, he had all his law stuff stripped
from him. Yes, but yes, you're right. However, that was always going to happen before his law license was smash. I don't even think you have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court, technically.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been asked.
So. Well, there's still time.
No, that's not going to happen.
There's still time.
I'll find out about my dark, dirty past, and that'll be the end of that.
By the way, the Alzheimer's Walk is this Saturday. I will be there, and Ray Amaya and I were going over this thing. You're going to love this one.
Mm-hmm. Your scripts?
24 pages in the opening ceremony.
Yikes.
24 pages, and then they have me introducing the gentleman from Channel 5 Plus 1, which is okay, but I'm going, golly.
Is that Tom Rinaldi?
That is Tom Rinaldi, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Tom Rinaldi. I'm just sitting there going, man, whatever happened to, and you've done events. Heck, people pay you to do events, correct?
Not in town, but out of town. I'm taken out of town to do events.
Right,
yes.
You're a paid entertainer. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, so, I'll go with that. I'll accept that label.
Here's the skinny on that. What's the number one rule? Brevity.
Yes.
Don't you hate it when you're in a thing and my first appearance here, it was at the tea party, and all of a sudden this minister gets up there, and he's going on and on, and it's supposed to be 5 minutes. He's going for 15. Mm-hmm. And it's like, finally, I go, dude, you got to go up and give him the hook.
Yeah.
And how do you follow that? I went up for 90 seconds.
Or if you're on the platform and you have, your little 90-second thing ready to go, and you see somebody get up in front of you, and they got, like, 9 pages of notes, it's like, oh, boy.
Not good.
I've got to sit here and pretend like I'm paying attention.
Yes. Yes.
So that'll be good. But no, the Alzheimer's Walk, which is a great charity, a great cause, families who are suffering, with that, with a loved one. It's a good cause. So Saturday you will be out at Kleiner Park in Meridian.
Yeah, right by, behind Big Al's there. And, we'll just leave it at that. But it's interesting that we're going to be there for quite some time. I guess I'll have to bring the sunscreen.
Well, what'll be good is when it's done, you can sneak over and watch the football game, the Boise State game somewhere, because I think it kicks off at 10:30 at night? No, 8. What time does it kick off?
I think it's 8:30.
Holy cow.
Yeah, the games are getting later.
That is just scary. Of course, it is in, Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
So it's 7:30 there.
I got to say I'm a little envious of our political correspondent here at 580 KIDO.
Dustin?
Yeah.
What's Justin doing?
He's going to the game, and he found a business that's going, so he and his dad are going, and it's really a pretty cool trip. You leave Friday morning, so you get in Friday night to just hang out and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
in Reno. So maybe you go to the Peppermill. Maybe you go to the Dolphin. Maybe you go to the Sands. I don't know.
If you're Justin, you're going somewhere you probably can't talk about on the radio.
Right. And I didn't know they had those places in Reno.
But anyway. Sure they do.
So you have a cool day there. So then you have an entire day thinking about it because the game is so late. Then you go to the game, and then you leave like 11, 12 o'clock the next day for Sunday. I mean, it's a great, really, weekend getaway.
So it's a driving trip?
Yeah, they're taking a bus. And
it's agonizing.
Is it agonizing on the bus?
It's a long trip down there. It's a little bit agonizing.
It's agonizing in a car. I couldn't imagine it in a bus. But once you get there, you can hang out and do whatever you want. I mean, Dave Pezzo is going to be there as well.
Yeah, Dave will fly down.
Yeah.
That's just the way Dave rolls.
Or you know, he said to me, he goes, okay, this is what you do. You go on this side of the road and use this radar detector. But then you have to stop when you get to this mile marker, precisely knowing where the cops are.
Yeah, amazing. I will give fair warning to anyone driving down for the game, if they're leaving today or tomorrow to go down. Watch yourself in Oregon, because Oregon State Police, they go and patrol that part of the road on the weekends when it's either, you know, a Nevada game here or there, hoping to catch all the speeders.
By the way, we have a very big guest today. Dick Morris will be joining us.
Nice. He's got a new book out.
Got a new book out, and he's almost completed, I think, a year, maybe a year and a half of being a talk show host in Philadelphia. So he's kind of a squirrely dude.
Dick Morris?
Yeah. He was promoting one of his books, and he's like a little kid. You ever notice people like that? It doesn't matter who, how old they are, they're like little kids.
Yeah, because I saw a video of one winning a Marconi recently.
Exactly.
And
well,
it's up at 580kido.com.
630, 580, 6 whatever. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, so I'm sitting there. So Dick Morris goes, "Hey, you want to go see my bus?" And I'm going, "No, not really." And this was in North Carolina, and, you know, I did some TV there, and, you know, I have a face and a physique for radio. I like that, a physique for radio. So he goes, "Yeah, we'll just take the bus to the taping of whatever political show." Okay. "Hey, here's my wife." "Hi, Eileen." "Hey, this is Kevin Miller." "Hi, Kevin." "Hey, you want to go on the bus?" So we get on the bus and we go like 2 miles. He was so excited to have his bus. "Hey, I'm going to go shopping. I got some flip-flops at the Walmart." Okay.
Had Winona Judd say that to me once.
She got flip-flops at the Walmart?
No. "You want to see my bus?" And it's like, yikes.
Hey,
let me go get my wife. Okay, let me get my wife.
We'll what was she like bus. In person?
Winona, her mom, crazy, her mother, Naomi. Winona was good to eat. I liked her.
No, I mean, like, what'd she look like?
Oh, pounds and pounds of makeup and hairspray.
Was she, you know.
Cosmetically appealing?
No, you know.
What's she want? I don't know what that means.
What's, you know, that phrase, plump when you cook them?
Was she a little heavy?
A bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I got a great story about chicken and her, but that's a whole different story.
Fried chicken?
Yeah.
Man, that'd be good this morning.
Yeah, a little fried chicken. Have you noticed something, by the way, as long as we're rambling this morning? Channel 7's got their new high def stuff going on. That little stripe they have across the bottom.
Yeah.
It's too high.
Doug Petkesh right now looks like he's a prisoner.
Yeah, that stripe is way too high.
Looks like he's a prisoner.
Whoever's in charge of that, scoot that down a little bit.
I don't know. That HD stuff is pretty wild.
Yeah, scoot that down. I even noticed on my flat screen, it's too high. So scooch that down a little bit. Don't run it through the middle of their faces.
Yeah, don't pay it for the consultant. You can just listen to her right here.
You better believe it. We could fix all the TV stations in town.
Oh, okay. So Ray Maya corrected me. Thank you, Ray. It's at 8:05. Thank you. Not 8:30.
The Alzheimer's walk?
Dick Morris.
Oh, Dick Morris.
Got to be careful with that word.
Okay. Alzheimer's?
Mr. Morris's first name.
Oh, Richard.
Yes, precisely.
Okay. All right.
551, 42 degrees at 580K audio, and I had something in it. It's gone now. It was the best ever.
This has been a very scattered morning. You can tell it's a Thursday, can't you?
No, I really like this because you're kind of sitting back, so... You know, Dick Morris will be on, Jonathan Wolstetter will be on, the Secret Service lady gets the boot. Oh, I was going to ask you, now that we've kind of debriefed, as Jesse would say from Breaking Bad, debrief, you know, debrief. Great line in that. I love that. You know, what do you mean debrief? You know, debrief. I don't want to debrief with you. Debrief. Sorry. How do you see this game with Nevada playing out?
It's going to be a tough game. It's always tough to go to Nevada. Mm-hmm. You know, as you like to say, Boise State got punched in the face Saturday. So we'll see how they come back. They get one of their cornerbacks back. Thompson, I think, comes back. So that will help them. I mean, they were five down in their secondary against Air Force, and that hurt. And that hurt them. In fact, they were 10 people down with injuries. And they are young as it is. They are sophomores and freshmen as it is. So they're young. They were, you know, they were 10 down, which is no excuse. Every team has injuries. But in their secondary in particular, they were running second and third stringers. So if they're in that case with Nevada, they're going to get carved up.
Well, here Nevada's defense is pretty good, and Boise State's defense is pretty good. So
Boise's run defense is pretty good.
Yeah, which, you know, Air Force doesn't pass much, so.
Yeah, but when they did, they were very successful because, you know, they lulled us to sleep and our young guys got burned.
By the way, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, says this segment, Snorefest. I love the instant feedback here.
Wait, when's Alan on the next time?
I don't know.
Because I'll go ahead and shoot you a note when that happens. Can he sue me for that?
He can sue you for anything.
Oh, yeah. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Cannon County.
Coming up next, is the war on ISIS, ISIL, Syria legit? What about Benghazi? Those questions and answered and more, 580 KIDO. Serving